Great to see you, church. Glad that you're here with us today. Thankful that you made the ever-important decision to be a part of worship, but especially that you chose to be here at Azalea City. I do want you to continue to remember Sister Margaret Eichner in your prayers. Sister Margaret's still not able to be here today. They are listening to us, and all those on live stream want to say hey and welcome to you all also. But Sister Margaret and Brother Darren are doing great. They do want you to know that they were sorry they were away. He told me this. He said, but they are back. And so I'm thankful for that good news. And also Sister Margaret's recovering. She goes back to the doctor tomorrow. We love them very much and appreciate them as well. Also, as we enter this lesson, I've got to make a confession to you, and I'm sorry about this. But this morning, after our children were offering, I clotheslined Harrison Hatcher. And Harrison, where are you, buddy? I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry for clotheslining you in the mouth, okay? But I love you and appreciate you. Please forgive me. He's tougher than anybody here, so I'm thankful for that. But I was trying to give them all high fives and got wrapped up in it. But we're excited about what's going on. You know what our children's offering does? Justin works very hard every week to along with others to get our teenagers, I know, work as well to get baskets of food or bags of food to our J. Turner children and those who are less fortunate than us, some that don't have any food over the weekends. That money goes and it supports all that. And so I know we've heard that before, but I just like to remind myself sometimes of how awesome that is, how powerful that is. It's also good to have with us today some visitors from out of town. And so I am thankful that we have Dr. Williams with us. Dr. Mike Williams and his wife Lisa are here. Dr. Williams is the president of Faulkner University, and we're glad to have him, and also Joey Wigington and his sweet wife, and then also John Tyson and his friend with us as well. And so we're thankful for them being here. They're blessings at Faulkner University, and if you haven't got to know them, maybe you want to. And then also sitting behind Brother John is Nick Dodson from Faulkner University. Nick is sitting with Justin, and Nick is a young man that's doing great things at Faulkner and certainly somebody that I want you guys to get to know and make him feel welcome here in Sims, Alabama, and somebody that I hope that we'll be able to talk more about in the near future. And so good to meet you, Nick, today as well. We are talking about love. I appreciate Jason's prayer. And certainly, it is something that we need in this world, right? We need love. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's a saying, a song, but it's also very true. We talked all month long about love, and today, as we continue to walk in love, our message today is, what are we producing? Are we producing love? If you go to Galatians 5, we know that passage very well. And in Galatians 5, we hear Paul talking to a church, by the way, not to some people on the street, not to some worldly individuals, but people that are struggling in the church with sin. I mean, let's think about that. Isn't that what love is about? Love, Jesus Christ, went to the cross to die for sins. But he recognized that there's still going to be troubles, and he recognized that there are going to be sins, such as what Paul wrote about in Galatians 5, when he said, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. Sound like 2019 America to me. He goes on to say, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. He didn't say to those out in the world, he's talking to the church at Galatia. And so in this room, there may be those of us who have participated or are participating in that. Now, we've got to get that out of our lives. We know that. But he goes on to say, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Or in other words, the fruit of the Spirit is love. You see, we are trees. We're grafted into Jesus Christ, but we are trees planted. Somebody along the way told us about Jesus. They told us about His death. They told us about His burial, His resurrection, His life, that good news that He can save us. and that seed was planted in us, and then some others came and they watered it, and then God allowed our spiritual lives to grow. And what happens when we grow? We blossom. Well, the question today is, what is on your tree? What are you producing? An apple tree produces apples. An orange tree produces oranges. A peach tree produces peaches. Christian trees, Christian people must produce love. That is where we are. And so that is the question today. Are we producing love? And it's a challenge to you, it's a challenge to me, because love is special. You know, when I went to Faulkner University, I went up on a couple different occasions. At one time, I was going to play baseball up there, and then I chose to not do that, and my dad said, well, okay, then you can go to work. And so I went to work. And so I went to Faulkner and Mobile for a little while, but when I was going back up there, I would go to one of these gatherings, and there were social clubs there. And there was one social club that really stuck out to me, and I liked them, and we had a lot of things in common, and I felt like that was the club that I wanted to pledge and ultimately did. But when I was there, I said, the only thing that bothers me about these guys is they're always telling each other they love each other. And I'm from Wilmer, Alabama. And that's just not cool, you know, for another guy to say, hey, I love you, man. I love you too. But when I got there, it changed me. And I understood that became my family. And I still love those guys very much. In fact, one of them, who was the president when I was a pledge going through there, he and I are going to speak, along with Justin and some others, up at Faulkner on the Youth and Family Forum and together very soon. And so they're still my close friends, and I love them. And I have no issue telling you I love you, and I don't want you to have any issue, because we must be love producers. Because love's special. But love is also kind. We talked about that last week. This world needs more kindness. I mean, you think about the dying art of people being kind to one another. You would have never thought, some of you that have been around for a few days here, some of our more mature members that have seen a lot change over this world, you'd have never thought kindness would be going out the window like it is today. People holding doors open, saying thank you, smiling at one another. Those things are lost arts. You know why? Because there's lost love. But love is also God, because God is love. Love kept Jesus Christ on the cross. It wasn't the 8-inch spikes that went through His hands and feet. It wasn't the blood that He had lost. It wasn't the fatigue. It wasn't the mental tiredness, the emotional tiredness, the physical tiredness. It was love for you and love for me. Love lifted us, as we sing about. Love is in this room. Can't you feel it? I had a conversation before I went in to worship with a lady who has a lot of love in her heart, and she loves me and I love her. And she was talking about, you know what differentiates this place from other places she's been? The love that comes from each and every member. You see, what I love about this is I can look over here, and some I obviously know everybody pretty much, but some I know better than others, but I could go up to you and I know you would love me and I'd love you in this pew, or this section, the balcony. We know that love is here. We can feel it. And that's special. Do you know, and this is as me, you know, I'm a transparent guy. I love my family. They're all here. I mean, my parents, my wife's parents, and my brothers, you know, cousins, everything. I've got a lot of family here. But you know what's kept me here more than my family is the love that's in this place. You can't duplicate it. That's why I don't want to go anywhere. That's why, you know, we want to be around, because it's so special. It's in this room. Paul said in Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. That's love. He goes on to say to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 4:1-2, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. That's our series. Walk in love. Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. You know what he said? He said, you produce love and people are going to take notice. People are going to see Jesus Christ living in you. But it is sometimes hard, isn't it? To be on love production all the time. I mean, there's a challenge. You know why? Because the devil gets in the way. I said this in class this morning, but we left Central Sunday night, spiritual enrichment, well, this past week. We left Central Sunday night, and I was going down Celeste Road. Probably should have gone 158, just to be completely blunt with you. But I was going down Celeste Road, and out of nowhere, I mean, I didn't see it coming. Bo didn't see it coming. Michelle nor Madeline saw it coming. I was looking straight ahead. Out of nowhere, a deer darted out and hit us. Now, we were all okay, thankfully. My vehicle, not so much. But the bottom line is, out of nowhere, we get drilled. And that's the way the devil, I mean, it was a blindside. You know, it was one of those, that those left tackles in the NFL get paid so much money to protect those quarterbacks so they don't get blindsided. We got blindsided. And that's the way the devil's going to do for you. And so he comes in out of nowhere and he drills us. And so sometimes we get mad. Sometimes we get angry. We may try to carry our cross, just like the guy I told you in the illustration who was being Jesus in the play, and that guy just got on his nerves. He jumped on and jumped on, and finally he said, hey, I'm going to meet you at the resurrection. And sometimes that's our mentality. I'm going to put this cross down for a little while, and I'm going to take care of business, you know? Well, that's not, we've got to be above that. It may be difficult sometimes. Not everybody is easy to love. That's just reality. Not everybody's easy to love, but it is possible. God promised us that. It is possible. It's possible for us to love, to live in peace and harmony with everyone. After all, he said it in Galatians 5:22, as we said earlier, the fruit of the Spirit is love. But what does love do? If I am going to produce love, there are about three things I want to talk to you about this morning. That love will do. When I produce love the way God expects me to produce love, the way the Holy Spirit leads me to produce that love, here's what's going to happen. Sorry, I got off of that. Number one, love is going to linger. Love's going to linger. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 31 through 13, verse 3. We've been reading all month about this. I'm going to remind you again. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. As we've said all month long, what Paul is essentially saying here, he's teaching us all that, hey, I want to show you the best way to take care of virtually every situation in your life, and that way is love. I've had confrontations before, and you have as well. I don't like confrontation. I want to live peaceably with all people. I just don't enjoy confrontation, but sometimes it's unavoidable, right? But you know, and my brother Mike Eubanks has said this in our eldership many times, and Mike and I are involved with a lot of things, whether it be at Mobile Christian here or Fulton University or wherever. You know, wherever we've met, if there's been somebody who's had a conflict or whatever, when you start that prayer, I mean, start that meeting in prayer and in love, it deflates the hostility a lot of times. You see, it's possible for love to take care of every challenge, every situation that there is out there. And some of you work in the secular world, but when we produce love, which also produces kindness and joy and peace and all those other things, then it's going to be possible, like he said, to produce love and kindness and joy and peace wherever we go. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying this more excellent way. You see, I like M&Ms. I know that shocks you by you looking at me. But I like M&Ms, and sometimes on the way out to my parents, we'll stop at a gas station and get a drink and maybe some M&Ms to share as a family. And you know, now they do those buy one, get one free. And so we have even extra M&Ms to share. And we wonder why America is having an issue. But anyhow, the point is, what is M&M's logo, their slogan? They melt in your mouth. not in your hands. And they got famous with that mindset of putting that little candy shell over the chocolate so it won't melt in your hand. Now, it will ultimately, eventually, but the point of it is you want to put it in your mouth. What happens? It lingers. It doesn't get wasted. And so that chocolatey taste lingers in our mouth. Well, I want you to think about love that way. If you don't like M&Ms, use whatever you do like, okay? But love must linger. It must linger. I've heard people talk in death before. Death of a spouse, and you know, they can say certain smells remind them of their spouse or their loved one. Why? Because if it's a wife that passes away, that husband may catch a smell of the certain perfume that she wore, and it lingers in his mind. A song, songs play that kind of effect. You might hear a song, and it takes you back to a certain moment. Why? Because it's a happy thought, it's a good thought, and it lingers in your mind. Well, we need to let love linger. It needs to be produced in our lives so that it saturates all those around us. You see, we can't just hold on to it ourselves. If we do, it's going to be wasted. You put those M&Ms in your hand, they're wasted. You want it to linger. We need to share it with everyone. What does love linger longer than? You know, love's going to linger longer than words. You think about the words we produce, and facts tell it this way, ladies and gentlemen. Women speak more words than men throughout a lifetime. And there are thousands upon millions upon billions even of words that we'll say if we live to the average lifespan. And there are certainly a lot of famous sayings that have lasted a long time, but love's going to outlast that. Tongues given to the apostles on the day of Pentecost. They were able to speak in different languages and others understand them in their language. Paul even said, if I use that gift, the gift of tongues, and I didn't have love, I'm like sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Love will outlast my words. You know, in the pagan temples, and here's what he's referring to, they had a big gong or a cymbal. They would walk in these pagan temples, and Paul was around paganism in Corinth, okay? There was a lot of godlessness going on. And so they'd go into these pagan temples, and the pagan god would be there again, you know, what they worshipped as their pagan god. And so they'd hit this gong, you know, and make this loud sound. And the hope was that would wake up the pagan god. And so that's the mindset there. If we waste our words without love, if we're not producing love, then we're just waking up the foreign gods. We're not bringing glory to the true God. Paul's teaching that having the gift of tongue without love would be ridiculous as trying to wake up false gods. You know what? Love will outlast. It will linger longer than knowledge, he said. If we know everything there is to know about nuclear science, now that'd be a lot. That's a lot more than this Bachelor of Science Bible degree could tell you, okay? If we know more than there was to know about nuclear science, if we knew everything there is to know about medicine, if we knew everything there is to know about philosophy and psychology and theology and every other kind of ology out there, and we don't have love, then we are nothing at all. The smartest people on the planet, whoever that might be, can know everything there is. They can know the cure to cancer. But if they're not producing love, then it's a waste. It's a waste. It's always amazed me that there are so many self-help books out there. Do an Amazon search for self-help. And what I mean by that is if you're struggling with something, by the way, there's some good ones out there. I'm not knocking books. But let's just say you're trying to figure out what's wrong in my family. What's wrong in my life? What's wrong in the world? You know, you're going to be able to do a search, and Dr. Phil's got podcasts and so many other things out there about, hey, this is how you can figure things out. You know, and people are trying to say, hey, why is there all this wrong in the world? Why are people going around killing people? Why are people going around raping? Why is there abuse? Why is all this going on? And experts are trying to come back with the same answer. You know what they're saying? Hey, we need more knowledge on this. We need more education on this. You know what I say? No, we need more love. That's what's missing. We need love. They're trying to muzzle you, and they're trying to muzzle me. And I'm not talking about getting in the parking lot at Walmart and bellowing out the gospel. I'm talking about living it and producing it and letting others know, no matter the way they treat you, we're going to react with love. Because love's what lingers. Love will outlast all this. It will outlast faith, he said. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's biblically true. But love lingers longer than faith. Say that 10 times fast. How do I prove that? The story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus, in proving who is our neighbor, who needs love, who needs to be loved, that man got beat up. He was left to die. The priest walked by. Man, I'm too busy for that guy. Somebody will help him. Whatever his thoughts were, he goes. Hey, but you know what? That priest knew everything he needed to know about the law. I mean, he'd probably been trained in the best temples and the best synagogues, and he's there and he knows, man. You ask that guy about the book of Isaiah, the Pentateuch, he's going to know it. But he walked right by. There was a Levite, the priestly tribe. Guys in training to be priests. You think they didn't know? They're in the book. They're in the law every day. He's training. He's studying. He wants to be a priest one day. Oh, man, there's a guy. No, I've got to get back to my studies. I've got a lot of homework to do. I've got a lot of things I need to do. That somebody will help that guy. But it's that good Samaritan, a man that despised by Jews, and Samaritans despised by Jews, and Jews despised by Americans. He's the one that stopped. The priest and the Levite, do you think they had faith? Yes, they had faith. They had knowledge, but they needed more love. Galatians 5, verse 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Love will outlast and linger longer than generosity. If I give all my possessions, and I'm not talking about 10% now, I'm talking about everything I've got. Empty the checking account, empty the retirement, empty the savings, empty everything. Put the house up for sale and give all of that money to the work of our Lord, and I do it to help the poor, but I don't have any love, then I've just wasted it all. The motive for giving should be love. Love for God. Love for His people. Love for those in need. And then love is going to outlast accomplishments. Paul talks about giving one's life to God, presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice. If we go to church every time the doors are open, if we read our Bibles faithfully, if we pray, we do all the things that a Christian ought to do, and there's no love behind it. We talked about motivation the very first week. If that's not our motivation, then it is nothing in God's sight. Love must linger. Now abides faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. It also reminds us in here that love is lively. If I'm producing love, it's going to be alive. The movie Toy Story. A box office success worldwide. There's Toy Story 1, Toy Story 2, Toy Story 3, and 4 is in production right now. My son loved Toy Story. Probably still could if I, you know, watched it with him every now and then. It's a great show. You know, and you think about how great that movie is and how funny that movie is and how well it is. But you know that movie, that series of movies would have been a flop if those toys never came alive. Think about it. When Andy walked out of the room and old Buzz just sitting over there like this, Woody's just flopped down, and there was no To Infinity and Beyond. No, there's a snake in my boot. No, hey, you are a toy, but he's really alive, you know. There's none of that going on. Then those movies wouldn't have made it. Well, guess what? We can look great, and we can dress up, and we can put our ties on and our dresses and our Sunday best and everything else. But if I don't have a love that's alive, then it's a flop. Our love will fail if it's not a lie for others. We must have a love that's alive. It must be active. John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You know what he said there? He said, if your love's alive, people will know. People's going to know. Evangelism's changed, folks. And I know we just spent spiritual enrichment and talking about evangelizing, and I 100% agree with that. The message now needs to get out more than ever, probably. But I'm just going to be completely honest with you. And some of you maybe were converted through the Joel Miller film strips, and I'm not knocking that at all. I mean, the material is true, and truth is truth. But go into someone's home today and get your film strip out and plug it in and see if it works. We've got to evolve in the way we reach people. We don't change this book. This will never change. But the way we reach people today is through love. It's the same concept that Jesus Christ gave us. He befriended people. Fishermen that had sailors' mouths. Tax collectors that were hated. He was ridiculed and made fun of because of it. He ultimately was killed because of it. But He did it so that He could bring love alive. We've got to do the same thing. Today, every one of us are called to be evangelists. And I want you to understand the best way you will evangelize today is to love one another. And by this, people will know that you are Christ's disciples. But that love must be real. It can't be fake. It can't be dead. It must be alive. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, the Apostle Paul from a prison cell said, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." He goes on to say in the very next verse, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What a famous passage of Scripture, but we miss verse 4 sometimes. The reason he's saying, hey, look out for others, is because you know what Christ did? He looked out for others. And He loved others. The adulterous woman, caught in the very act. We'll talk more about her maybe in a moment. You think she needed to hear a sermon on adultery that day? By the way, Jesus could have given one. I mean, He knew the Scriptures, right? He amazed them at 12 years old with His questions. He knew the law, folks. But He didn't give them a lesson on adultery. He gave her a lesson on love. In John chapter 4, the woman at the well, you think she... Why did she go get water at that time during the day? Because she'd been married so many times, she's living with somebody, and then all of a sudden, people are looking at her, and they're making fun of her, and they're talking about her, and they're gossiping, and they're naysayers, and all this, and she's like, oh, I'm going to avoid all those people. But there's old Jesus right there, sitting there waiting on her. And He knew everything about her, but He didn't give her a lesson on marriage and divorce and remarriage. He gave her a lesson on living water. That's the love. By the way, that convicted her. It convicted the adulterous woman. I'm not saying we don't preach conviction. But our love must be real. And it must be alive. He's our example. He was selfless. And we must be too. Think about the lingering effect of lively love. There's another tongue twister for you. The lingering effect of lively love. Husbands and wives. If we let love linger and simmer and be alive the way it should, then we're going to talk to each other and treat each other the way God intended. That's going to carry over to our children. And that's going to carry over to their friends. It carries over to the church. It carries over to our community. people will recognize, hey, the Azalea City Church of Christ, just like that lady and I talked about, they love like no one I've ever seen. We need to come alive. We need to let love be alive. And then finally this morning, when we produce love, you know what it does? It leads. Love leads. John 8, I just referenced it. Okay? Oh, John 8. There was sin. And listen, I am never going to be one to tell you that we need to keep sin in our lives and rely on grace just to cover us through. Remember, Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, may it never be. Certainly not. Okay? But here's a lady caught in the very act, as I mentioned a moment ago, of sin, of adultery. There were stones. Stones to murder her. To kill her. Not to hurt her, but to kill her. But there was also a Savior who drew in the dirt a couple times. Whether He drew their sins or He drew something that convicted their hearts, whatever He drew, they left the stones. You see, when we allow love to lead, we love first and we preach later. Sometimes love's all the sermon that people need. But then there's also Luke 23. Speaking of love leading, there were some robbers around Jesus Christ on the cross. Remember that? Mark said He was crucified with two, one on the right and the other on the left, so the Scripture was fulfilled, which says, and He was numbered with the transgressors. But there was one robber that day that saw Jesus crying out to His Father as they're hurling insults at Him and making fun of Him and ridicule and mocking Him. And He's not striking them dead. He's not saying, God, wipe them all out. He's saying, Father, forgive them. And there was one robber next to Him who changed. Now, Jesus Christ, with the power on earth to forgive sins, remember that, under the old law, as Jesus had not died yet, He had compassion, and He could look at that man's heart, and He could see the change, and that robber is crying out, remember Me! And Jesus said, today, you'll be with Me in paradise. Now that's the reward. Jesus Christ, the leader, by the way, only Jesus could do that day, but He led with love. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas have been put in the inner prison, maximum security. They've been shackled up. They've been beaten with rods. It's midnight, late, miserable, guilty of leading with love is why they're arrested, leading with Jesus. There's a jailer who's been assigned to them, and obviously the concept is, or the command has been given to him, hey, don't let these guys out or we're gonna do some bad things to you and you're gonna die. Because when the earthquake comes and everybody's asleep around them or whatever it may be, and it rattles those shackles and it rattles those chains, and Paul and Silas are free to go, but the jailer has heard them instead of cursing everybody and cursing God and cursing the world around them and feeling sorry for themselves. They've been singing praises to God and praying prayers of thanksgiving to God. The jailer heard all that. He witnessed all that. And he thought they were gone, because certainly if God answered their prayer, they left out of here. So he drew his sword, and Paul said, uh-uh. You see, we're here. And I imagine he said something like this. We didn't leave because we want you to be saved. You think they had to hear a 3-point sermon with an introduction and a conclusion and a, hey, if you're subject to invitation, won't you come right now? He didn't have to hear that. because love led. Now, Paul baptized him and his family that day. Because I imagine that jailer went back and said, hey, I want you guys to have what they have. And then finally, uh-oh, that was finally, huh? I thought I had one more slide. But all these were lingering acts of love. And they were tremendous lessons that were learned. I don't know what you'll be faced with when we get out of here. A deer may hit you on the way home. Your car may break down. You may receive some bad news. Somebody may cut you off. Somebody may tailgate you. Somebody might be rude to you at the restaurant. Somebody may be rude to you getting your M&Ms at the gas station. There may be somebody, I don't know. I don't know what the devil will throw your way. But we're going to have a test somewhere along the way. Will we lead with love? Will that love linger in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts? And will we allow love to be alive? You see, I don't know what the answer will be for you. But I'm convinced and committed and convicted to strive to let love reign in my life. Today I would like for you to join in with me in that. Because you see, I want to grow this place. I want to grow Azalea City till we have to knock these walls out. Folks, we have a lot of people here that have a lot of Bible knowledge. But you know, they're not going to say that at food distribution. They're not going to say, wow, Larry Hancock, that guy knows his Bible. He does know his Bible. But they're going to say, Ken Murphy and Larry Hancock fed me. And so many others did as well. The families, we may not ever know them at J.E. Turner. But if somebody asks and if they make the connection one day, they may say, hey, those people at Azalea City fed me at a time when we were really struggling. They're not going to say, hey, Terry Cagle knows his Bible. I'm not discounting our knowledge. You know I'll preach on knowledge all the time. But you know, Jesus Christ didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. And that means we must produce love. And as uncomfortable as it may be sometimes, I told you we're taking back the love wins from the world, because love won at the cross. It wasn't comfortable for Jesus to leave His Father. It wasn't comfortable for Him to be beaten and scourged. It wasn't comfortable for Him to be spat upon and ridiculed and to carry a cross. But He did it so that we didn't have to live in our own filth any longer. Today, let's allow love to conquer all. Love is alive. Love will linger. And love will lead us to Jesus Christ. Today, if you need to obey the gospel, if you need to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of every sin you have, allow love to transform you. Or if you're here today and you need to make a response in a public way, allow love to lead you out of that aisle. And let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.